we fall and we fail. You're holding on to us, you're holding on to us in the pain. When we break, you're holding on to us with nothing less than love, with nothing less than never fear. Hope is here, breathing into us. You're breathing into us. We will rise, come alive. You're breathing into us with nothing less than love. Come alive.
How many here wet yourself when it's time to stand in public and say something out loud? Amen. How many here? How many?
Salvation sounds a new beginning. It's distant heart. Begin believing. Redemption's bid is unrelenting. Your love goes on. Your love goes on. When the world gives way, carry us with your endless grace.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. Are you ready to worship? Are you ready to worship? Awesome. We are participating in Baptism Sunday this morning. I am so excited. It's one of my favorite Sundays. If I could just have everybody stand up and come right up to the altar, you do not want to miss the anointing that's going to be in this service, okay? So Baptism Sunday is basically a representation of what the Spirit does with our lives, of what the Spirit does with our spirit. Once you go in the water and come back up, you're a whole new person. You have a clean slate. The blood of Jesus is over your life. It is very, very exciting. So we're going to start off with praise and worship today. Are you ready? Awesome.
Give, free to be, I'm free to love you, free to
can match God, that can surpass him. I just need to hear one more shout of praise.
Stronger.
awesome and power, our God is our God. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than others. Healer, awesome and power, our God.
Our God, yes.
Our God is, our God is for us. Then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand?
Give God a shout. No, I didn't say give God a noise. I said give God a shout. Come on, we gotta know the difference. We gotta know a difference between praise and wanting to be delivered from our praise. Okay, so let me hear a deliverance praise in this place right now. Come on, I gotta hear it. I gotta hear it. God's gotta hear it. So please give God a shout like never before. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's an easy song. But this song is talking about activating the blood in our lives. Somebody say the blood. Somebody say the blood. Hallelujah.
Jesus, I love you so. The blood still it flows from your throne. Jesus, some still don't know. The blood that you shed still it flows.
Sing it with me.
Jesus, some so. The blood still it flows from your throne.
Somebody sing.
Jesus,
some still don't know. The blood that you shed,
still it flows.
Come on, give me more. Say,
Jesus, I love you so. The blood that flows from your throne.
Somebody say,
Jesus, I still don't know.
The blood that you shed,
still it flows.
Come on, give me more. Say,
Jesus, I love you so. The blood that you shed still it flows. Jesus, some still don't know. The blood that you shed still it flows.
Your blood will never lose its
power. that you shed still it flows.
Come on and say Jesus.
Jesus, I love you so. Blood still it flows from you. Jesus, I still don't know. The blood that you shed still it flows.
Your blood. Your
lift up your hands. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful?
Jesus, there is freedom
in the name.
Isn't the name of Jesus all we need? You're all we need, Lord.
Isn't the name of Jesus all we need?
We don't need anything else.
Sing it out, sing it right to him. He's all we need this morning.
Isn't the name of Jesus all we need?
Oh, you're all we need, you're all we need.
Isn't the name of Jesus all we need?
The power in the name is in the name.
Isn't the name of Jesus all we need?
Come on, lift your hand and sing. There is
freedom. In the name,
there is
healing.
Sing, there is
power in the name.
Sing, salvation.
Salvation in the name.
There is life.
There is life in the name.
There is no other name but Jesus.
With a broken heart, you Hey, good morning, family. We want to let you know an awesome opportunity we have to reach our community. We're going to be at the Chemung County Fairgrounds from August 1st through the 6th, and you have an opportunity to sign up to help to become part of reaching our community. So see Pastor Chad, come out to the foyer at the Ministry Center, sign up for a time slot, or you can email Pastor Chad at outreach@histabernacle.com. We want you to help us reach our community.
Great news. There's still time to help out and be a part of the Upper Road Conference. July 27th through the 29th, we're invading the First Arena, downtown Elmira. There's two ways you can be a part. Number one, you can help out. You can volunteer and serve so this event is even greater. You can join us today at 1:30 at the First Arena right after service for team days. Also, if you have a teenager, you know a teenager, there's a teenager in your family, there's a teenager on your street, I want to encourage you to make sure they're here. It's 100% free, and we know that God will touch their lives and they'll be changed forever. So we want to encourage you, tie in with the conference, make sure you're a part this year, and God is going to do something mighty. Join us this year, July 27th through the 29th at the First Arena.
There is so much going on in the house. Make sure you read your bulletin. It's packed with stuff going on in the house of God. We want to encourage you to be here more than just Sunday morning. There's so much powerful stuff going on. Every night of the week, there's something going on to encourage and build you. We want to welcome our guests to the house this morning. If it's your first time with us, if you would just raise your hand. We don't want to embarrass you, but we have a gift we would love to give you. Thank you so much. Welcome. Welcome to the house. We have guests all over. Thank you so much for being with you. Just keep your hand up. Our ushers are coming around to bring gifts to you. Thank you so much for being with us in the house of God, in the presence of God. And if you're watching via live stream, we welcome you, our online campus, to your family here at His Tabernacle. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, every week, Pastor and I get to hear such incredible testimonies. When you come in on a Sunday and you leave right after a service, you don't get to see the impact that your life is making on others' lives in our region and around the world, but you are making an impact. So I love testimony time so much. So you get to hear what's going on in the lives of other people just like you. If God will do it for one, he's no respecter of persons. Now, I have to add to Marge, because in the first service, she didn't share this portion. I don't want to share your age or anything, but you're kind of at the age of retirement, right?
When most people are planning retirement.
Awesome. So I'm just going to prelib her testimony with that factor and how awesome God is. She said the word God gave her was a word that scripture, and again, for all of us, the latter shall be greater than the former. Amen. Marge.
Okay, I had to write everything down because if I just start talking, I'm going to go on all kinds of tangents, and Pastor would not like that. So, for 14 years, I worked two part-time jobs and odd jobs to make ends meet and to have enough to do some extra giving. Tithing was never an issue for me. I've tithed since I accepted Jesus as my Savior in my early 20s, but I didn't know about seed time and harvest until Pastor taught us that biblical principle. In May of 2016, I started sowing money, time, and prayers toward a full-time job. If multimedia service needed extra help, I worked every day my job schedule allowed. By the beginning of this year, I was working every day somewhere and getting impatient to have that changed. In April, I sensed that I needed to seed what would be a large sum of money for me. I chose the most fertile ground I knew, sowed into Pastor Spencer, and declared a hundredfold harvest. By the end of May, I was asked to be full-time at Multimedia. Amen. Yeah, when I should be planning my retirement. Yeah, I do things a little backwards, but you know. I gave my 2 weeks notice at Tops and had my last day there on June 6th. I felt like my whole life was being changed up. Weekends and holidays off, wow, what a blessing. I attended Women's Encounter that weekend, free to me, another blessing, and sensed that more was coming, although I didn't know what. It was such a blessing to be working a job with weekends off. I had not been able to spend days with my elderly father because of my work schedules, and now I could. I spent the next two Saturdays just spending time with him. On June 26th, at the age of 96, my dad suffered a heart attack and passed away later that evening. Just to add, if I had not gotten the full-time job at Multimedia, I would not have had those two Saturdays off, and I would not have gotten to spend with my dad. Okay. Then the more came. Dad wanted me to have his house. The house he built, the house I grew up in, the house that is full of his craftsmanship and projects. I had put the desire to have a house of my own in my impossible drawer. I could not imagine ever being able to afford a house. I wanted to move in, but my first panicked response was, I can't afford the additional expenses. Thankfully, family and friends counseled me to really look at the numbers before I made a decision. While I was mentally going back and forth, this was my journal entry. Daddy, is this something you have for me? I don't want to be a poor steward of my finances and get in over my head. I don't want to have to cut back on my giving. I don't want to be selfish. I need your guidance desperately. One of the verses I read later that morning was Psalm 55, 22 and 23 in the Message Bible. Pile your troubles on God's shoulders. He'll carry your load. He'll help you out. He'll never let good people topple into ruin. Was he telling me to go ahead or not? Still questioning. That next Sunday, Sheila, who is out front somewhere, handed me a sympathy card with a bookmark in it. The bookmark reads, "She believed she could, so she did." Now, what has that to do with a sympathy card? I have no idea. But God knew I needed to hear that. The next Sunday, I thanked Sheila and told her the bookmark was something I needed to hear. She told me that God told her to give it to me. I decided to go ahead with accepting the house. Now that is amazing. And my hundredfold harvest. But it doesn't stop there. My sisters, my two wonderful sisters, gave up their share of Dad's savings and gave it all to me to put toward needed repairs on the house. But it doesn't stop there.
This just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen anywhere, does it?
Minister Redner's company, New Britain Roofing, came out and gave me an amazing price to have not only the house roof and chimney completely restored, but the garage roof and chimney as well. And I need to add, the garage is a two-car garage that actually was the first house my dad built. We lived in that while he built the house he was in now. So that was also a house to me. But it doesn't stop there. Dan Flatt's father, Dalton, heard about the two vehicles in the garage that had been sitting idle for years, both with flat tires, and volunteered to come over and get them running so they could be sold. And it doesn't stop there. Although the next bit has nothing to do with finances or the house. In 2002, I left my marriage. In 2005, my husband got a divorce. I lost half of my family, as most of his family looked at me as the sinner that should not have left. I missed them terribly. There were great nieces and nephews that I never got to meet. Around 2010, I took the divorce care class and began the process of forgiveness. Several years later, I took the Healing Journey class and forgave on a much deeper level After learning that not forgiving not only hurts me, but ties God's hands when it comes to the offender. Last summer, my ex-husband told me he had something he needed to tell me, but wasn't sure how I would take it. We normally had no contact with each other. He said he realized he had hurt me terribly and saw that he needed to stop blaming others and take responsibility for his own actions. He asked me to forgive him. I was so glad I could honestly say that I had already done so. Who would have thought that an ex-spouse would apologize after 14 years? And it doesn't stop there. This past week, my son called to set dates to fly out for a visit in September. He and his dad will be going to a nephew's annual Labor Day picnic with all of the nephew's family. My son said he wanted me to go with him and his dad. I don't think so. I have not seen that side of the family in 15 years, and last I knew, they didn't like me very much. That same nephew sent me a message on Facebook telling me they were looking forward to seeing me. Now I was really wondering what was going on. My son called a few days later and I asked him, "What's up?" His response made me cry. He said his dad recently called every member of his family. And told them he was responsible for the breakup of the marriage and apparently said good things about me. His family's response was that they really missed me, still loved me, and couldn't wait to see me. I'll be going to that picnic. I'm supposed to be crying, not you. We're both up here crying our eyes out. Now I can't see. I want you to know that seeding isn't always money. I seeded forgiveness and harvested restoration. Don't ever, ever, ever underestimate what God can do when you follow His principles and stand on His word.
Amen. Amen. God is so awesome. I can't wait for her to call me tomorrow because I'm sure there's more. Every day she calls, and but there's more, but there's more. I love Pastor Andrea's statement and declaration that she makes. Increased obedience brings accelerated harvest. And boy, Marge is walking in some accelerated harvest. And God is no respecter of persons. Our increased obedience brings accelerated harvest. So as we're entering into this time of tithes and offerings this week, we know about the tithe. The word tithe means 10%, and it's holy to the Lord. But then there's sowing and reaping. And the word of God says seed time and harvest will not pass away. Whatever we sow will bring a harvest. And so we're in the middle of our generous campaign right now where we're able to utilize your seed for souls in the kingdom of God, to change this young generation. The anticipation for uproar this year is so incredible. God is going to do mighty, mighty things. It's even gone a little bit further than just the conference. If that's not enough, the school has invited Pastor Cody in to do character building classes on a weekly basis. So now our seed is being perpetuated weekly in the public high schools. So as we are in this generous campaign, make sure you sow your seed today. We're going to have a gold bucket up in the middle, and that will be for your generous campaign seed sown this morning. And your tithe will go in the wicker baskets. So the wicker baskets, ushers, please take note, ushers. Wicker baskets will be up for the tithe, and the gold bucket will be in the center for our seed for the generous campaign. If you're ready to give, oh, Pastor Spencer wants to pray this morning. As we're bringing your finances forward, we're going to be up here. We're praying for people that desire to have their own home. So this morning, we are going to lay hands on you, agree with you, and pray for a new home for those that are believing. So when you come forward, make sure you get prayer if you're believing for a home. So stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration from the Word of God. and it's Deuteronomy 28. And it says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in. And I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. Giving button, you can give right along with us, or you can text to give.
Free to give, free to be, I'm free to love you, free to You gave everything for me. You gave everything for me. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I'm alive to live for you. I'm alive to live for you. Amazing love, how can it be? You gave everything for me. You gave everything for me.
Praise the Lord. Did anybody see how beautiful this young lady is? She's all dressed up. Come here, Mackenzie. Show everybody how beautiful you are. Come here. Isn't Mackenzie beautiful? You are so beautiful. She really hates this, but that's why I'm doing it. Come here. Come here. Give me a hug. We are so proud to have Mackenzie as our worship leader. Amen. We're so blessed. Thank you all so much. We love you. Today I'm going to preach short. Glory to God. I think I have a record for first service at 24 minutes. Miraculous things have happened. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. This morning I want to talk to you about the generous presence of Jesus. You see, the church world has gotten away from the presence of God. We've made church a great place to go to where I might feel a little soulless. But we have forgotten that what makes a church is not a building. It's not a preacher. It's not all the different events that we have and activities that we have. The only thing that makes a church truly a church is that the presence of the Holy Spirit is here. You see, with the presence of the Holy Spirit, then you have nothing more than a religious institution. And what's happened is there's been a slow digression away from the presence of God to where people are happy with just doing a religious activity. And today there's got to be a shift in our spirit. Can I hear an amen? In this house, I'm excited to say we will never, ever, ever stop allowing the Holy Spirit to bring the presence of the Lord in this place. Jesus never came to build a religion. He never came to build any of it. He came to give a place where his presence could be felt, where his people could be possessed, where you and I could walk in the presence of the Holy Spirit, because where the presence of the Lord is, there's everything that you need. This is the sad part about many people going to church never feeling the power, the presence of the Holy Spirit. There are churches going on all over the world right now, and many of them no longer preach the gospel. Many of them no longer stand behind the pulpit and say, Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. They're no longer saying the presence of the Holy Spirit is a mandatory in this place. They're allowing the religion to overtake the relationship. But I love so much about Jesus. Jesus never came to build a religion. Jesus came to have a relationship with you. He came to walk with you and to talk with you, to reveal himself to you. He loves that what Adam and Eve had in the garden is now and can be ours all over again. And that is a relationship with a living God. So in that, we've got to have his presence. Can I hear an amen? God is so generous in desiring to give his presence. The challenge is this. So many of us have gotten into the mode of religion that we no longer are passionate to receive the presence. We've come to a position where we're okay if I just go to church every once in a while. You know, the American church now is one every 3 weeks. That's not the problem. Can I share that with you? The problem is not that people go to church one every 3 weeks. That's nothing more than a symptom. The problem is people are no longer passionate for the presence of the Holy Spirit. They're no longer passionate to get in the presence of God. The Bible makes a declaration in Psalms 133. Behold how good and how pleasant it is when the brethren dwell together in unity. It is in that place that the anointing flows from the head of Aaron down over his beard, down over his garment to his feet. It's there that God's commanded blessing is. There must come a place in our spirit again where we're hungering and thirsting for righteousness, where we're hungering and thirsting for his presence, We cannot be satisfied with religion or church, but we've got to say, God, I've got to go to your house. I've got to be in that corporate anointing. I've got to have your presence permeate me. I've got to be changed by the glory of God, not just go to a religious organization. Can I hear an amen? You see, until that happens in our lives, then we remain good folk. But Jesus didn't come to build good folk. Jesus came to build sons and daughters. He came so that you and I would know him, not just know about him. He came, according to the word in John 17:3, that we would know him and the Father. I'm talking know him. His presence is everything. And without his presence, then we truly have nothing. There must come this shift in our spirit where, again, we are more after the spirit and the presence of the Lord than we are after the things of this world. Listen, the Bible says we must occupy till he comes. We've got to be here. But what's happened is so many of us are trading the presence of the Lord for temporary things that truly, let's be real honest, nothing in this world is ever going to change you or give you eternity. There's only one who's going to give you eternity. There's only one who can heal your body. There's only one who can heal your mind. There's only one who can satisfy your spirit. His name is Jesus, and that comes when the presence of the Lord is in the house. We've got to have the presence again. We've got to get back to hungering. We've got to get back to thirsting. We've got to get back to passion. I've got to have Jesus, or it's not even worth going any longer. I've got to have God's presence over me, because that's all that matters in my life. This is where we're having a large loss in the body. We're looking at the symptom, but the problem truly is that people no longer want God. We like the mind concept of God. The concept of God is, well, I don't want to go to the lake of fire. Can I hear an amen? That's a good concept. We like the concept of God. We like the concept of religion. We like the concept, but God's not into concept. God's into reality. God is into, he is, I am the God of yesterday, today, and forever. I am the I am that I am. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I was and is and am coming. You see, God is after you and I to again know him, to be in this relationship. And that does not come in a religious building. That comes in his presence. So there are many that go to church week after week, some of them 40, 50 years, yet they have not sat in the presence of God, and they do not know God. They have a concept of God. They have a concept of religion, but they've never sat in his presence. You see, his presence is so powerful. How many of you have ever been in a service before where an hour has gone by? The anointing was so strong. An hour's gone by, and it's almost like been a minute. Where the power of God is so strong. Last week was so awesome. People gave their hearts to Jesus. But during the preaching of the word and during the anointing that was being released, 5 people got healed right in service. People not even touching them, but the Holy Spirit. You see, where the presence of the Lord is, there is everything that you need. If you need peace, God has peace in his presence. If you need joy, God's got joy in his presence. If you need healing, there's healing in his presence. If you need restoration, there's restoration in his presence. If you need deliverance, there's deliverance in his presence. We've got to get back to God. I've got to have your presence, or going to church doesn't even matter anymore. Well, Pastor, that's your job. No, I'm sorry. That's not my job. You see, there's 2 things that are powerful: an environment and an atmosphere. Right here, we have an environment. It's a place. It's a location. It's a building set aside for God so that in this environment, it's safe. We can worship him. We can come into his presence. We can lift our hands. We can have God touch us. We can get water baptized. We can listen to a preacher preach the word of God. That is the environment. But you see, there's a large difference between an environment and an atmosphere. Many of us don't mind going to an environment, but we want nothing to do with the atmosphere. Or we don't know how to build the atmosphere. Therefore, we're just sitting in an environment. And there has to be a shift for your life. This is the generous God giving a generous outpouring of his presence. Because he knows that it's only that generous outpouring of his presence that is truly going to satisfy you, that's truly going to heal you, that's truly going to make your mind straight, that's truly going to set you in line to where God's purpose and vision for your life is going to come to fruition. It's only in his presence. But yet if we don't know how to foster, we don't know how to create the atmosphere, then we're just sitting back in an environment hoping it happens. I thank God that we can come here and the Lord, by his power, will touch people. But everybody in this room deserves to have a supernatural touch of God every single week. You deserve to have a supernatural touch of God on Monday morning when you get out of bed. You deserve to have that supernatural touch when something, a problem is coming down your pike, man, that nobody else knows about, just you. And at the 3 o'clock morning, when you awake in the middle of the night, you know that your God is able to be there by you creating the atmosphere for the glory of God to descend so that you will be able to release the anointing to set the captives free. You see, God needs you to understand how to generate, how to bring forth the presence of God. Exodus chapter 33, verse 15 through 18 says this. And Moses said to God. So Moses is talking to God. He says this. If your presence does not go with us, don't bring us up from here. Listen, God, I've seen the miracle of the Red Sea. I saw you peel back the water and dry the land. I saw the children of Israel walk across on dry land. I saw the Egyptian army. They were drowned in that water. I saw, God, all the miracles and the signs and wonders. Lord, but this is what I want you to know. I've seen the signs and wonders, but there's not, those are not the things that are changing me. What's changing me is, God, is this. If you don't go, I'm not going, because I'm going nowhere without your presence. I'm going nowhere without your presence. I'm going nowhere, God, without your presence. You see, many of us have built a lot of things in this life. We have a lot of stuff in this life. But unless the Lord builds a house, the labor's in vain. And when God has put his presence in your life, you then are able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. You're then able to hear the direction of God. You see, and when we build the house of the Lord, I want you to know you're the house of the Lord. Can I hear an amen? This is just a church building. You are the church. You're the church of Jesus Christ. You're the sons and daughters of the Most High God. We've got to get back to God again. I need your presence more than anything else in my life. See, you can have the environment, but it doesn't mean you've created the atmosphere. Here we go. Here's this stunning young man. He's found this young lady that he says he feels is hot and beautiful. And he says, I want to date this girl, and I need to take her out to this beautiful restaurant. So he made a reservation. He made a reservation at this beautiful hotel that had a dress code. And so he went to go pick up this darling, and this is what came out the door. Wow. She hasn't showered in 1 week. She used Dopey instead of perfume. Her hair is tad bit disheveled, and Lord Jesus, look at that makeup. Oh, man. Now, how many of you would just sit back and go, oh, baby, it doesn't matter how you look. Just come with me to this restaurant. I don't care how much you love them. The environment is right, but the atmosphere is wrong. Thank you. What's happened is many times, this is us when we go to church. We haven't showered in a week, which means we go to the house of the Lord and we haven't asked God to forgive us. We haven't gotten our lives right with the Lord. Some of us are playing with sin. Some of us are living in sin. Some of us are running around sinning like it's a normal part of your life. But you are no longer called a sinner once you've been born again. You are a sinner that has now been broken and brought into what? The sonship and sainthood of the kingdom of God. Therefore, no sin has authority over your life. So some of us are walking around like this poor young lady. We stink because of the sin in our lives. We haven't showered in a week. We have not gotten our lives prepared in a week. And then we come to the house of the Lord and we expect the atmosphere to be different. Here's another one. I love my wife. We've been married 623 years.
An ever-growing war until a beautiful tree grows. Express attraction to things not
I just wanted a nice evening. The environment was right. The atmosphere was wrong. I think I broke my neck. Here's a young man and a young woman going out to dinner. They love each other. They've been married for 623 years. Here they are at supper. He's gone out to this restaurant. They have beautiful flowers and candles. But what's he doing? He's got his iPad. And he's playing Clash of Clans. He's texting his friend. He's not paying any attention to his wife. Hello? Just one more minute. Listen, the environment is right. The atmosphere is wrong. You cannot come to the house of the Lord and ignore him and think you're going to have the atmosphere for the miraculous. Can I hear an amen? Now listen, take your fight outside because I know that you have this one. When I asked Cody to do this last day, he goes, I am getting better. Here we are as believers. We've got to get back to a truth, and that is this. The environment can be correct, but if you do not create the correct atmosphere, then you're not going to have the loving you want. If I walked into my house and I said, hey, we're going to make mad passionate love tonight. Whether you like it or not. All right? As long as we're on the same page, we're in good shape. I want you to know that's just not going to do it. There could be issues in the bedroom. Can I hear an amen? But if a man will recognize that the environment is available, but if you create the right atmosphere, you're going to get the loving that you're looking for. Can I hear an amen, ladies? Oh, man. Josh, you're acting awful strange down there. We have got to understand that atmosphere is everything. And so many of us, when it comes to the presence of the Lord, we are not attentive to the atmosphere that we're creating for God to move in our own lives. We're not creating any atmosphere for God to move in the body of Christ. People come to church, they sit down, they talk with their buddy. Man, that's if they show up, and they'll show up every three. Listen, again, I'll say it one more time. The issue is not that you come to church once every 3 weeks. That is nothing more than a symptom. The issue is you don't want the presence of the Lord. And when you don't want the presence of the Lord, then there is a problem that is internal that God has to get us back to. And that is, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. You see, this is not about you and I just doing our religious thing. It's about you and I truly understanding that God wants you. And he wants you to understand how to create an atmosphere for his presence to move. I've been in the presence of the Lord. And in fact, in this tank this morning, Pastor Nobody or Opie and I were talking earlier. The anointing was so strong in the baptismal tank today. Well, why is that? Well, because I go expecting God to change people's lives. You remember the Pool of Bethesda? There was a man who sat by the pool of Bethesda all these years. And Jesus walked in. This is the only, you need to check this out. This is the only time that Jesus went and asked somebody if they wanted to be healed. Every other time they came to him. But he walked into the pool of Bethesda and he says, you know, do you want to be healed? And the man said, well, I want to, but there's nobody to take me to the pool. Someone gets there before I do. See, what the miracle was the first one to hit the pool, when the angel stirred the water, they were immediately miraculously healed. And so what happened was he said, I have no one to take me. So Jesus created an atmosphere. You see, wherever the presence of Jesus is, there is the atmosphere to heal. There is the atmosphere for peace. There is the atmosphere for joy. There is the atmosphere for you and I to have everything we need from heaven. But until that atmosphere is created, then you're sitting by the pool, watching other people experience the power of God, but you're just watching by the pool. You got to get some tenacity in your spirit. And you got to ask yourself, what am I creating for the Lord? Coming and sitting and during worship. Listen now, I don't mean to be condemning this at what I'm doing here, but I need you to understand there's keys. Some people don't do because they don't know. Amen? When I do marital counseling, one of the things I find is that majority of true marital problems are just they don't know. They've never been taught how to. They're usually skill set problems. So you put the skills, we have a counselor for it, yes, amen? Yes, amen? Skill sets, that's the issue. Many times in the body of Christ, we don't have skill sets. And some of the skill sets that we don't know, you just don't do because you do what you know. When you come to the house of the Lord, you're not only seeding your time, you're seeding your faith. You're declaring that my faith put with somebody else's faith is going to do the supernatural. That's why when you come to the house of the Lord, God is blessed. God is pleased. Not only that, he made the declaration in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Do not forsake the assembly of yourself as a manner of some is, especially in the last days. The truth is that we must obey the Lord. And when we seed ourselves, there will always be a harvest. For seed time and harvest is the principle and the plan of God. Listen, I feel like I could preach an hour right now because I only got 24 minutes in the first service. As believers, we've got to know that if you're going to sit and not worship, that you're not creating an atmosphere for God to move in your life. Well, I don't like to lift my hands. Well, I sing bad. Who cares if you sing bad? I sing bad. They won't allow me in the choir. They won't let me sing. Josiah Skinkle told me, he says, Pastor, when you sing, I ask them to turn you off out in the foyer because you're the hardest or strongest voice in the foyer. Listen, I know my skill isn't singing, but sing unto the Lord a new song. You see, I came to the understanding that when God is touched by worship, when God and you and I start to worship him, his presence comes. And when his presence comes, that means we're creating an atmosphere. And the more people that are creating the atmosphere, the more and the stronger the anointing will be. You see, the latter part of that portion in the book of Exodus with Moses is he said, I'm not only not going to go if you don't go, but this is what he said. Please, God, show me your glory, which means this. Lord, I don't only just want your presence. I don't only just want to feel you. I don't only just want you to touch me. But God, I want your glory. What is the glory? The glory means the weightiness, presence of the Lord, where God is so present that human nature kneels down and bows. The Bible made the declaration in Chronicles that the glory was so strong in the temple that all the priests went down on their knees and worshiped God. They couldn't even stand up themselves. I'm here to tell you, it's time for the church to get back to a hungering. I want the presence of God. I want the glory of God. I want God to be glorified through my life. And I'm not going to be satisfied with church. I'm not going to be satisfied with a religion. I want the presence of Jesus. Until we get back to that place, then we're just going to be good religious people. And God is not interested in your religion. It's not the environment. It's the atmosphere that you're creating. When you came to church this morning, what was the atmosphere that you were creating? What did you want? What was your expectation? There must come a place in our spirit that we want the presence of God so desperately that I'm not going to leave until, I'm not going to depart the altar until, I'm not going to stop until, God, I want your presence so badly. It doesn't matter what people say to me. It doesn't matter what people think about me. God, I don't care what people say when I worship. I want you more than I care about people's approvals. Lord, I want your presence in my life. I need to be healed in my mind. I need to be healed in my heart. I need to be healed in my marriage. I need to be healed in my family. And God, it's only in your presence that true healing comes. When were you so desperate for Jesus? When was the last time you were so desperate for Jesus and his presence that you were unwilling to be satisfied with anything else? I haven't given this example for many years, and I'm going to end with this. When I was in Bible college, I traveled with a drama team. And we were in Rochester one time. And what they used to do is take us by pairs and send us to different homes. And that's where you would sleep. And in Rochester that day, I went to Ma B's house. Sister Bonowitz was her name. Now, me and this kid that went from the drama team, we went into the house. We're really nice. She had a swimming pool and all this stuff. And, you know, she's talking to us, and she's feeding us really good. It's awesome. And then she sat us down, and she started talking to us about wanting Jesus more than anything else. Now, she's talking to Bible school students, right? This shouldn't be an issue. And then she told me this. She said, I need you to close your eyes, please. I'd like you to close your eyes. And I want you to see this with me. She said, one time God gave me a vision. She said, I walked into his throne room, and it was a massive throne room, and it was absolutely beautiful. And the glory, she said, it was almost like sunshine coming from the throne. I couldn't see his face, but I could see his body. He was dressed in white raiment, and it was just magnificent. She said, I stood in the back of this massive auditorium, this massive sanctuary, and the throne was sitting up front. She said, in front of me was a sea of people of every nation, color, and tongue. And she said, one by one, they went up to Jesus, and they said to him, Lord, I need this, and Lord, I need that. And they explained what they needed. And she stood until, she said, all of a sudden, she was the last in the room. She looked up and she noticed that Jesus was weeping. And she said, Lord, I don't understand why you're weeping. All your children were just here and they were just talking to you and they were just sharing their situation, Lord Jesus. I don't understand why you're weeping. And he stopped and he said, I'll tell you. He said, does anybody just want me? Does anybody just want me? Does anybody just want me? Listen, he's a generous God and he loves to bless you. But what he wants to bless you with more than anything else is his presence. He wants you to know his voice. He wants you to know how much he believes in you and loves you. You see, when we seek after his presence, after him, and he comes, he meets all those needs. But so many of us are after so many things that we forget all about him. And then there's a whole group of people that love the world more than they love Jesus. We've come into a church world age where everything is good and everything is fine. You can live any way you want and you're still going to heaven. And I want you to know it's a lie. The Bible says, if you don't love me more than the world, then the love of the Father's not in you. The Word of God declares that if you're neither hot nor cold, that I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. We've got to get back to this place, church. This is all that matters. And I want you to know at His Tabernacle, it's always been that way. Because we could change at any time. But when we started this house, God spoke to me and he said, it's not your house, it's my house. They're not your people, they're my people. It's not your kingdom, it's my kingdom. And if it's all his, but he's not here, what do you have? You're the church. You have all these things. But do you have him? Do you want him more than anything else? It's a scary spot, isn't it? Because it makes us look inside and say, Jesus, if you've got to extract things from my life that I love more than you, go ahead, because I'm good. You'll never be more satisfied when you're in his presence, ever in your life. And when you experience his glory, wow. You can just sit there for hours and hours and hours and hours. Does anybody just want me? Do you just want him? This is the compulsion of why I do what I do. There's nothing more satisfying than seeing people grab a hold of Jesus and run the race all the way to the end. Where it's not about things, it's about him. Do you have his presence? Do you have his presence? Are you after his presence? Do you want what he has for you? Everything you have in this world is gone. It just takes a moment of time. We've all experienced some levels of loss, some of us greater than others. But when you have the presence of the Lord, even those losses don't have the same hold. I'd like you to pray with me this morning. Jesus, I thank you so much for your presence. Lord, in this house, we want you to know, Father, we will not trade you out. We will not trade you out for religion. We will not trade you out, God, just to have a church service. Father, our hunger in our heart is you. We want to love you more. We want to want you more, Jesus. We want to be like you more, Jesus. We need you to do this in our life. Holy Spirit, start drawing us, start moving us, start changing things in our lives. We need you. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. We honor you, Jesus, and we ask in your name that we will not just allow an environment to happen, but we'll create an atmosphere for your presence to permeate. We need you, and we choose you. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it's why he came. So you could experience his presence and be changed from the inside out. You see, that girl who came out all nasty dressed, hadn't showered in a week, it would just take a shower to change her. With all the sin in your life, it will just take one moment when you confess Jesus as your personal Savior to wash your sins away. Today, if you do not know him, I want to introduce to you the very best friend that you'll ever have. His name is Christ. Today, if you'd like to receive Jesus as your personal Savior, I'd like you to raise your hand up right now. I want to introduce to you your best friend. Is there anyone this morning that needs Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? I'm not going to wait real long. 5, 4, come on, get your hand up. 3, 2, last call, and 1. Let's all stand to our feet. Next week, I'm going to finish this message, I promise. I want to show you different depths in the Spirit. What we're going to do that's different next week is you don't want to be late. We're actually going to start with only 2 songs. and I'm going to preach first, and then we're going to worship. I want to teach you how to create an atmosphere for the anointing, the atmosphere for the presence of God, that if you have a need, God will meet it. I'm going to teach you how to do it so you can do it on Monday morning. Amen? So that every day you can be in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Every day you can be in the presence of Jesus. And every day, remember, wherever his presence is, there is everything you need to succeed. Amen? Bow your heads with me. Father, release a blessing upon the house in the name of Jesus. I declare that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Father, in Jesus' name we declare that we will hunger after you more than ever before. And God, we will not be satisfied with what this world has to offer. God, teach us how to create an atmosphere for your presence to fill not only our own life, but God, wherever we are, for the honor of heaven. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, the prayer team, if you'll come to the front, if you need prayer for anything, the prayer team's around the front of the altar. They'll minister to love on you, bless you. Have a great day. Serve Jesus with all of your heart today.